Welcome to the Glacial Multimedia Podcast Series. The Glacial Multimedia Podcast Series is dedicated to providing internet marketing education to physicians for better business development and overall patient communication.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to Glacial Multimedia's podcast series. Got a great one for you today, and we're actually doing a first. The very first time ever, we have a call-in person, which is going to be fantastic and wonderful. She's going to help us out a lot. My name is Daryl Quinlan. I'll be your moderator for this one. Today, we're going to talk about patient conversion. Seems to be an issue nationwide with many of the practices that we deal with, so we've brought in an expert. We're all going to just kind of talk about it, see what some of the obstacles are, and some success, etc. Before we get to that, though, let's go around the room. We've got a couple of fantastic people. Karen, why don't you start off and introduce yourself.
I'm Karen Dubkowski. I am the Director of Client Services, and I've also worked at an ophthalmology practice before working at Glacial.
And then, of course, Mike, why don't you say a few words?
Hello, my name is Michael Dubkowski. I am the CEO of Glacial Multimedia, and I've worked on the topic of generating leads for practices, and oftentimes when you do that, you end up with the topic of patient conversion.
Fantastic. And guest speaker, mystery caller, please identify yourself.
I'm Holly Veneto from Clear Advantage Vision Correction Center and Eyesight Ophthalmic Services. Been here for 13 years, and my job is basically making sure that we bring money into the business and patients. And so that's what we do, patient conversion on both sides, you know, general ophthalmic as well as LASIK. I primarily run the LASIK side of the practice, but I handle all the marketing and help out a lot with the cataract recruitment on the other side of the practice for the general ophthalmic as well.
And that's one of the main reasons why we wanted you here, because you are probably one of the industry's leaders in this area. So we're going to be picking your brain. But first, let's kind of start off a little general. Patient conversion, like we talked about when we first started off, seems to be, as Mike's pointed out, kind of an epidemic around the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of the issues that happen there. There's going to be internal issues, external issues, staffing issues, all sorts of different things that can get in the way. But what's one of the, and we'll start off with you, Holly, what's one of the first things that you kind of analyze and look at when you start looking at what your patient conversion ratio is?
One of the first things I start looking at, and this is probably a very fair thing to say out there, we have to understand that LASIK, if I'm talking about LASIK specifically, LASIK, the life cycle of LASIK for even a lead is 3 to 5 years. So you got to remember that patients spend a lot of time thinking about LASIK, and once they've made their decision, that's usually when they jump. And usually when they jump, I mean, statistically, I can tell you statistically, I'm going to say 85% of my patients from the time they have their evaluation, they will have their surgery within 2 weeks.
So their mind's pretty much made up once they decide to come in for the evaluation. They're ready to move forward.
Correct. Yep. As far as obstacles, I mean, I'm going to say staffing is definitely one of those things that I think is a huge obstacle. I secret shop a lot. I've gone to many other practices throughout the country, and it always amazes me the lack of enthusiasm certain technicians have, just the way they even answer the phone. I try to hire people that are a lot like me, that have an energetic personality, because I want you to, this is an exciting job. I mean, what other field can you work in where your job is to bring in happy, healthy people that want to give you cash? I mean, that should make you excited. I don't know, my surgeon's excited about it. So I want to make sure that my staff is just as excited about their job. And if I have a staff member that is less than enthusiastic, doesn't seem excited about their job, I get a new staff member. I don't need that kind of, I don't need that personality in the office.
And that seems to make sense. The right person for the right job. And if you don't have the right person, then the job's not going to happen the way you want it to.
And that's in any business, really, not just, you know, not just ophthalmology. I think that's in general.
Sure. And Mike and Karen, you can definitely speak to it from talking to practices around the country. That seems to be one of the biggest obstacles, is the person who's actually responsible for these conversions. If you don't have the right person in that job, it just doesn't work.
The talent is just so key with this job. And, you know, I've been looking at this job for probably about 18 years now. And I remember I used to have a boss, and my boss would be like, you know, the original thought was, oh yeah, let's put a tech in there. She knows a lot about LASIK, and you know, she can talk to the patients and everything. Well, my boss, as soon as he would show up in that particular town, he would beeline it to the local Macy's, go to the perfume counter, and try to hire the girl that worked at the perfume counter. That was his motto. That's the kind of person, because he understood This is a sales position. This is not patient education. You know, this is
entirely different skill set.
This is you need to be able to make that conversion.
Right.
You need to be happy about what you do. You need to be spunky and creative at the same time. And,
if you went on iSight's website and you looked at the job postings, my job posting starts off with the following sentence. Personality is 99% of the job requirement. I can teach you anything, but you got to have the right personality.
Well, it's exactly the same way we are here with our even hiring our employees. We want to have people who want to create a relationship with our clients, just like you want your refractive coordinator to be able to create a relationship, make the people feel really comfortable and be memorable. They'll come back and then they'll start referring other patients to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the other barriers here that practices run into on this level is they may have had a person in the practice for 8-9 years. They've become a little bit complacent, but the doctor is really reluctant to pull the trigger to get rid of him because he feels a sense of, you know, honor to them. And, you know, he doesn't want to disrespect them. And, you know, he's been through a lot, you know, and so you tend to just kind of go along with the status quo. But meanwhile, you're spending all of this money with a company to do your marketing, you know, like Google, or, you know, you're paying us to do your SEO. And at the end of the day, you're like, wow, you know, you're spending all this money on the marketing, but you're really not converting what you need to convert. I personally see that a lot.
When I started working here, they never asked me to show them what the conversion rates were, but I give it to them every year. Without being asked, I say, this is my conversion rate this year. This is my conversion rate last year. This is my conversion rate last year, the year before that. Because I want them to know, you know, how we doing in the practice. I mean, that's how they're going to know. Like, you know, just for example, I was surprised when I just ran numbers today that 21% of our people this year were non-candidates.
Wow.
Usually I say 15 to 18%. So there was a large number of non-candidates. Now, that's not really a fair number. I'm saying they're non-candidates for LASIK. They could have been a non-candidate for LASIK because they had cataracts. Great.
Right.
I probably converted them over to iSight as a cataract patient. So, you know, the numbers change year to year, and you really have to keep your eyes on them. And again, the life cycle for LASIK is 3 to 5 years. So if I was to tell you, and when I ran these numbers really quick, my lead to eval conversion this year is 64%. Eval to surgery is 64%, 21% non-candidates. If I ran and I looked at my numbers and I went 6 years back, my evaluation to surgery rate is 76%. So you would say, wow, geez, Holly, are you doing really bad? No, I looked at the date. Some of these people had an evaluation 5 years ago and then decided to come back and have LASIK because they had chickened out 5 years ago.
Right.
So it's important to look not only year to year, but to really look at it as a trend in bigger chunks of numbers so that you can see really where you are.
I think that's a huge point right there. And what a lot of people don't get about this and what Holly's referring to is the sales cycle.
Right.
Not everybody is going, they may want LASIK today, but it could be 2 years before they actually get the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that sales, I would never lose sight of a patient. I would keep them right in your lead database, and I would, you know, continue to check in with them because you never know when that magic moment's going to go off where they all of a sudden say, hey, I really need to do this now. I can't wait any longer.
Right. I'm ready now.
I had that happen with a website. This practice hasn't built a website since 2007. I got a random phone call, and 2 days later, we're doing the website.
Nice.
Right.
You know, they just didn't have the money until now, you know, so.
Yeah, money's a factor. Life is, you know, a factor. I mean, everything's a factor. You know, the point is just to try to stay in touch with the patients. You know, I have a whole recall system my staff has to follow. You know, from the second you get a lead, you're supposed to call them that day. You leave a message. A week later, you call them again, and so on and so forth. And they have to follow that schedule. And if it's been a year, we're going to send them a letter. Hey, just don't forget about us. Here's some exciting things going on in the practice. So keeping the leads going is really important too in an effort to try to convert these patients.
And that's basic sales tactics. I mean, not to put it bluntly, but just because someone says no right now doesn't mean that they're going to say no a year from now or 2 years now. And just maintaining that relationship keeps that as a warm lead, something that you can actually work with and hopefully convert later.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, knowing that you've got the right person in the job, doing the job. You're following up on all the leads. You've got a nice protocol in place. You're still going to encounter obstacles. Not everybody's going to say yes. So what are some of the other things, whether internally or externally? Things like budget may matter. Things like you might not have the right tools to actually do it. You might still be doing all this on an Excel spreadsheet, things like that. So talk a little bit about what some of the obstacles were, how you overcame them and made them better.
Well, you have to have a good website. And I'm not just saying that
because
I love Michael and Karen. But you really do have to have a good website, and you really do have to change that website at least every 5 years. I'm sure Michael would like me to say 3, but at least every 5 years you have to have a good website, because people are going to go there and they're going to read about you. You have to have good marketing in general. I've secret shopped practices, and I'm amazed at what they mail me. It's just crappy patient education concepts type flyers.
Beautiful old stock photos.
Old stock photos. I mean, if I see one more thing of a golfer on a LASIK brochure, I'm going to throw up. I mean, just keep things up to date. Put testimonials on your website. I mean, just having good marketing and making sure that it's something that's presentable to the patients. Our patients, I have not had a patient yet that didn't say, well, this office is run like an efficient machine. And you know why? Because every single one of my staff can have the same conversation with a LASIK patient that I can have. So cross-training, I think, is another obstacle that a lot of practices have. There are a lot of practices that have one surgery counselor. So you call in there, you're like, I have some questions about LASIK. Oh, well, Patty's on the phone. Can you leave a message? Patty's the only person in the entire practice that can talk to me about LASIK. There should be at least 3 or 4 other people that can answer my questions.
How many do you have, Holly?
I have 5, including myself.
Cool.
And if you secret shop, then you talk to every single one of us, asked every single one of us the same question, we would answer every single question the exact same way.
That's efficiency.
So that was a training protocol that you put in place. Is that correct, Holly?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, it causes problems in a number of ways when you don't cross-train your employees. A, the number one thing, like I said, is everybody should be able to answer the phone and answer a patient's question. B, your message has to be consistent, because you don't want a patient to come in and say, when I called the other day, I was told that your surgery was $2,000, and you're telling me it's $4,000? No,
right.
We have the same exact conversation with every single patient. No, we told you were going to be dilated for the exam. Every single patient gets told this. So it's consistency. It's the same message no matter who you talk to.
So one of the biggest tools you have, obviously, are the people that you have in these particular positions. We've talked a lot about that and the importance of that. What are some of the other just things that you rely on, the actual tools of the trade that you may need to be able to follow this process through? Because getting the lead to either fill out a form, pick up the phone and call you, and then start that first contact, that's wonderful. But what do you do after that? How do you actually track this person, make sure you're following up with them, getting them to eventually hopefully sit down in the chair?
Well, leads are one thing. You do have to kind of, some people are hesitant and it could take 2 or 3 years. I think a more important question is the evaluation part. Once they get in the chair and they decide not to proceed, what are the tools that you need to have in place to ensure that when they do decide to move forward, they don't call my competitor because they want a second opinion? I want them to come back to me. So, and I know we'll have other discussions about this, but the optometry community is my number one thing in the whole wide universe. I have a patient that comes in for an evaluation, and I know that they see Dr. Jones. They have their evaluation. I send all their notes to Dr. Jones, just letting them know, hey, Dr. Jones, I saw Holly today for an evaluation. She looked really good. We'd recommend her for an advanced, bladeless treatment. She's considering scheduling surgery, and if and when she does, she'd like to see you for postoperative care. I cannot tell you how many times I've had Holly call me back because she had a routine eye care with Dr. Jones, and Dr. Jones said, hey, Holly, I understand you had a LASIK evaluation over at Clear Advantage. Everything looked really great. You're still thinking of LASIK? He just became my biggest sales tool.
He's absolutely helping you convert the lead.
That's how I converted the lead.
Awesome. So the tools become not only the community, the people, the physical things that you sit down in front of the computer. Hopefully, you're not doing Excel spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
So the tools that you use become just as important, I would imagine, as the people and the process that you go through. What are some of the external factors outside of the practice itself? You know, getting people to consider this in the first place, there's a lot of, even to this day, there are still, unfortunately, a lot of myths about just LASIK in general, advocacy groups, et cetera. So what are some of the external factors that you find yourself having to kind of combat and overcome to get people to even consider procedures?
Well, I attend every, well, me or one of my staff members, we go to every health benefit fair. So we have a booth at every health benefit fair that gives me an opportunity to educate people, you know, like the women's expos and things like that. That gives me an opportunity. I think, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I do a lot of radio commercials, and they're always very comedic in some sort. And I always talk about, of course, LASIK in general in the commercials. So patients will call me and they'll say, I didn't know you could correct a stigmata. And I'll say, well, we can't correct a stigmata. That would be the church. But we can correct an astigmatism. But, I mean, they hear the commercials, and they're like, the biggest commercial, the best commercial I ever ran was, call Clear Advantage. Even if you have an astigmatism, our lasers can treat your prescription. And the phone rang off the hook. People had no idea we can correct for astigmatism.
So recognizing the audience also that they're reaching out to, recognize the people, the age groups, all of that becomes hugely important, it sounds like, as well.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I personally have definitely liked about you is that you are very matter-of-fact, but not so matter-of-fact that things are dry. When you're having conversations with people, when you're talking with them, you treat them like they're people, not just, you know, hey, you're seeing dollar signs. You actually treat them like they're people. And I think that might be something that people forget a lot of times is people want to be treated like people.
Mm-hmm. I think absolutely, and I think authenticity is kind of my theme of the year.
Yep.
And I think if you can be authentic, people like that. Nobody wants to buy.
People like real, you know? And people like humor. You know, they're nervous when they come here. This is scary. This guy's gonna cut my eye open. You know, like that's what they're walking into.
Right.
And adding a little humor to it is always fun. Like when I talk about sending them back to their eye doctor, I say, you know, I got one thing I can tell you. It's the best part of my job. I never want to see you again. and then they laugh, and it's like, but it's true. That's my job.
Right.
I'm not in to see you. I don't want to see you again. I want you to go off and be happy and go get yourself some Maui Jim sunglasses with your eye doctor, and thank God for your vision every day.
All right, so we're getting close to the time. So we're going to just think about wrapping up here. Just going around the room, and we'll start with you, Holly. The number one thing, if a practice is having problems converting their leads, what's the number one thing they should focus off right out of the gate and make sure that they have that in place and then work on everything else?
Staff.
Thought you were going to say that.
Good staff.
Karen, any ideas?
I would say a good CRM system to be able to follow your leads and track them.
Mike?
Wow, I was going to say that.
Sorry, Michael.
Still your answer.
But I would say I think, training and making sure when you do get the right talent that they're trained properly, not only on the elements of the surgery, but also on the conversion techniques.
Sure. All right, I want to thank everybody once again for listening. Holly, thank you ever so much for spending this time with us. We really appreciate your value and insight. So without further ado, thank you all very much. Until next time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Glacial Multimedia Podcast Series. For more information in regards to future podcasts or services discussed, please visit www.glacial.com or call us at 207-878-5900.